Psych Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This evening in Waukesha, WUWM and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel are convening a program called Across the Divide, New Realities for Immigrants. It's the second in a series of forums revolving around current events and civil discourse.
Tomorrow night, an organization whose work is tied specifically towards civil discourse honors the legacy of its namesake. Frank Zeidler was mayor of Milwaukee from 1948 to 1960. He was the last socialist mayor of a major American city, and he spent much of his life after leaving office as a mediator of disputes.
Since his death in 2006, the Zeidler Center for Public Discussion has worked to bring people of differing political philosophies together to hear each other out. We're joined in the studio this morning by Anita Zeidler, Frank Zeidler's daughter and a former lecturer in educational psychology at UW-Milwaukee, and by Milwaukee historian John Goerda. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Mitch. Good to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about history here. Frank Zeidler was mayor from 1948 through 1960, so his time in office ended 57 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If we look around Milwaukee today, what are the most visible aspects to Mayor Zeidler's legacy, and what might be more subtle?
Without any question, the greatest tangible legacy is Milwaukee's land area, which doubled under his tenure. Grew from roughly 50 square miles to 100, and the result is that there is still, although it's shrinking rapidly, there's still farmland in the city of Milwaukee, way out there on the northwest side. And as he said when he was championing the annexation program, if there had not been that kind of growth of the city, there would have been more intense, concentrated poverty in the heart of town. And we certainly have problems with low income, but that helped, you know, to grow the city's tax base. So that's really very much a part of his legacy.
Well, and so in a more subtle way, what might be part of his legacy that we don't realize is part of his legacy?
I think a large part of it, and it is endangered as well, is a sense of the shared fate we have as citizens of Milwaukee and of America. He was someone who believed very much in government as a vehicle for enriching our common wealth. And those are two words in Frank Zeidler's estimation. We have a wealth and we hold it in common, and it is our duty to make sure we nurture it, grow it, and pass it on to the next generation.
Anita Zeidler, you were born just a few years before your father became mayor and not long after your uncle, who had been mayor, was killed in World War II. Growing up in the Zeidler family, what did you learn about public service as a calling?
Well, when we were children, my dad used to say he was a public servant and not very important. And we should not expect that anything would accrue to us just because we were children of the mayor. And in fact, we learned that very well. We also learned that my father took his job very seriously and he did it 24 hours a day. When we went to the park to play with him, we usually played games like baseball because that was something everyone could join in, and we had a large family. And my dad would come in a suit. Now, no one else at the park was in a suit and tie, but my dad was in a suit and tie, and he would say, because he owed that as respect to the people of Milwaukee, that in fact he was their mayor, and they expected him to be respectable. And so he played baseball with us in a suit and tie.
When you're a kid, does it make you cringe a little?
having been the daughter of my dad, what made me cringe was people criticizing my dad. The fact that whenever I was introduced, it was always as the daughter of, and it pretty much still is. And so you're not a human being in your own way. But, you know, my mother taught us that what we needed to do was protect my father. So we always had to be very careful. We behaved very well. One time when we were very young and we went to the on a trip to Appleton to see my uncle and his family. And we were on the train, and people on the train remarked to my parents that they couldn't believe what well-behaved children we are. So my mother, of course, giggled because at home we were not well behaved. But when we were out in public, we were very careful.
You said something interesting, that he thought of himself as a public servant and in that sense not all that important. And at the same time, he wore a suit and tie whenever he went out in public, and he thought of himself as mayor 24/7. So at some level, he also had to think that there was a certain importance to what he was doing.
Oh, he believed that what he was doing was very important, but he was not important. My dad was really quite modest. For example, he didn't drive, and so we always took the bus. And when you take a bus with six children, it's quite interesting. At bus corners and on the bus, people would approach my dad. And he always had in his pocket a little notebook. He would make very careful notes about what their problem was. And when he was able, he would have someone take care of it. So people always got a response from my dad. My dad always listened carefully. When we went for walks as a family, which we did quite a bit, we would pick up refuse on the street on the way until we got to a place where there was a public trash can to throw it out. So that was one of the activities on the walk, was keep Milwaukee clean.
And to the end of his life, he was just a tireless correspondent. We'd teach a class together, or I'd give him something I'd written, a book or something like that, or he'd just seen something. And I'd get out of the blue this note, you know, from your dad saying, great job, you know, nice to be part of Milwaukee. And to the day he died, I recall him being frustrated about the pile of correspondence he had not answered.
Not being able to finish it. Right?
You're talking about picking up refuse along the way. Reminds me that the form of socialism that he was known for as a leader is sometimes fondly, I think, referred to as sewer socialism. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how this kind of brand of socialism compares to what often gets described as, you know, socialism in other parts of the world?
I think, you know, Marxism is more the thesis, antithesis, synthesis, you know, kind of it posits revolution to a degree. And I think the Milwaukee socialists were more Lasallian. They were more gradualists. And I think Frank Sadler talked about Victor Berger, who was kind of the godfather of Milwaukee socialism, as an evolutionary moderate. That was the term he used, evolutionary moderate. So someone who believed that there should be the cooperative commonwealth of workers and everyone else kind of working together, but it would come only after you had a long period of actual reform and intense education. So these were not revolutionaries. These were evolutionaries. The whole point of sewer socialism was to have the best quality of life for the greatest number, especially workers. So at a time when Milwaukee's water supply was contaminated, sewage, the Milwaukee River was an open sewer, and that is a very accurate description of what the Milwaukee River was. Public works was really important because it meant public health for the greatest number of people.
Probably a significant majority of the people in the city of Milwaukee today were not even born yet when Mayor Zeidler left office. Mm-hmm. Do you think still that any of our expectations from city government today are linked to the philosophy of Frank Zeidler and indeed the socialist mayors before him?
Without any question. There was a guy named David Rose who was mayor of Milwaukee from 1898 to 1910 with 1 2-year term off. And on his watch, Milwaukee was among the most corrupt cities in the United States. And this is a pattern all across urban America. And all across urban America, there were reform movements. And in Milwaukee's case, it was the socialists who bore that standard of reform. And early on, they were kind of a small block, but they were incorruptible. They were creative, and they were diligent. So people learned to trust them. And 1910, a socialist landslide. And Milwaukee, for 38 years of the half century between 1910 and 1960, as socialist mayors, no other city of any size in the country, you know, had that record. And I think what happened was that the expectation of honesty, efficiency, a government that works and works for you, became ingrained. That became part of the civic consciousness of Milwaukee. And that is absolutely a legacy of the socialists.
And I will tell you that I hear from people all the time, people who are in elected office and others, And they say that my dad was their hero and that they try as much as possible to be like him. So, in fact, I think he did inspire a lot of people, and I think the socialists did. I mean, after all, when Emil Seidel was elected in 1910, he brought in the first budget planning to the city. Oftentimes we think of the left as being people who want large government and large spending, and they don't realize that the socialists were very, very, very frugal, didn't like to borrow for government, and yet they did all kinds of things and produced all kinds of projects and improvements for people's lives.
Yeah, they were opposed to issuing bonds for public improvements, and the term they used was they didn't want government to be in bondage to the banks. So.
Now, obviously, these are two different people we're talking about here, but I'm curious whether you saw any echoes of your father and what he was about when Bernie Sanders' candidacy as a self-proclaimed socialist got as much attention and captured as much imagination as it did in the last electoral cycle.
Well, it was very interesting that Bernie Sanders did get that attention. But in a sense, was he like my dad? Yes and no. My dad, yes, was in favor of making life better for people. And as much as Bernie Sanders spoke to that, let's make life better for those who are forgotten at the bottom of the economic scale, or let's make this better for all of us. Let's have free education for kids. Well, yeah, my dad was in favor of these kinds of things too. Where the difference was, I think, is my dad would not give up the Socialist Party and the principles that he followed. Bernie Sanders joined the Democrats. And so, we're not exactly the same that way. But if we're talking about doing the best for the greatest number, that was my dad's idea. I think not from the time I knew my dad as a young child to his death, my dad was pretty much the same person, pretty much believed in the same things, and pretty much spent his whole life trying to make the world a little better for everyone.
I know the Zeidler Center grew out of your father's work mediating disputes. Why was that work so important to him years after he had left office?
Well, because there was conflict in the community here in Milwaukee, and my dad was forever trying to find a way for people to resolve conflict without having it come to violence or big problems. So his idea was, hey, we can always talk about it. My dad was a very mild person. And even, you know, as a young child, we were at State Fair once, and a drunk came up and started screaming at my dad and threatening him. And my dad, you know, could talk most people down. I saw him in labor arbitrations where the two parties would come in, they couldn't even look at each other, they were so mad at each other, and my dad would calm the whole thing down, and by the end people were talking, even shaking hands when they were leaving. So he always believed that we could talk about things, that we could find out where our differences were. Now, the Zeidler Center for Public Discussion grew out of people who were inspired by that and also wanted to do things to solve some of the problems in the community. And, you know, there is social science research that says that people who understand the perspective of others are less likely to do those others harm. And we think that by getting people together to talk about how they feel about things and what they think about things and what their perspective is, that we can get people to understand each other and perhaps cooperate or begin to maybe understand each other.
Maybe a perfect note to end on. Anita Zeidler and John Curta, Thanks to both of you, and hope we'll talk again.
Thank you, Mitch.
Glad to be here.
John Gerda is a historian and author of numerous books, including The Making of Milwaukee and Cream City Chronicles. Anita Zeidler is the daughter of the late Frank Zeidler, mayor of Milwaukee from 1948 to 1960.
At WUWM.com, you can find a link to more information about tomorrow night's free public event at the Zeidler Center for Public Discussion. It's called The Zeidler Legacy.